Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
All right, one question quiz. Which book do you release when you've just become the executive editor of the New York Times and the first woman in charge of the New York Times? Is it A, a book about America's economic crisis, B, a book about whether journalism can survive, or C, The Puppy Diaries, Raising a Dog Named Scout? As should be obvious from the question, the answer is C, The Puppy Diaries, Raising a Dog Named Scout. We'll talk about that and taking over as executive editor of the New York Times last month. Hi, Jill. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian.
And congratulations.
I won't give the answer away.
I gave the answer away. And full disclosure, WNYC and The Times have several partnerships going right now, including our AM morning show, The Takeaway, and our joint education issues website, schoolbook.org. So I thought I should say that for the listeners. And we'll get to the puppy, I promise.
All right.
But how's The Times doing? I mean, a few years ago, there were rumblings of financial ruin. There was the selling of a stake to Carlos Slim. Could The Times or any serious journalism survive new media economics? But that talk seems to be receding, at least for now. How's it going?
Well, as you know from all the shows that you've done on it, the economy is a very challenging one for anybody in business these days. But what, you know, we have discovered at The Times, contrary to the dark predictions of, you know, various media prognosticators who predicted that The Times, you know, would go bankrupt even, is that the audience for quality news is quite vibrant. By the minute and hour and day, put out a news report that is the envy of everybody in the journalism profession for its breadth and depth and smarts. And that even as there are so many more disparate ways to consume media digitally, that the thirst for authoritative journalism that honors the intelligence of readers is still very valuable.
Indeed. And The Times isn't just a daily paper with a daily deadline for authoritative reporting anymore. It's a 24-hour, always-on news product on mobile and the web. Do you, as executive editor, find that both an opportunity journalistically and a burden?
I find it thrilling. I don't find it a burden at all. And just to remind myself of how great the opportunity is, I think of, you know, the night that Steve Jobs passed away, and, you know, we were able to practically immediately get on our website, you know, a obituary and deep piece about Jobs that John Markoff had written. Mm-hmm. And Markoff knew Jobs going back to 1976 when Apple first began. And quickly, John also did a video. We soon, because there was an outpouring on Twitter of people who were so moved by Jobs. And we, you know, sort of culled, our editors culled some of the more interesting tweets, and we had those up. And by the minute, our report deepened on the web that night. And yet, in the next day's paper, there were all kinds of deep articles that, you know, brought parts of Jobs's career that no one else had written about to light. And, you know, you do it all, and it's thrilling. It really is.
Jill Abramson, the new executive editor of the New York Times, and every executive editor leaves so far his own mark. A.M. Rosenthal had certain priorities coming in, Harold Raines, Bill Keller, and on back. Are you coming in hoping to make a certain kind of mark that's very you?
Certainly I am, and it's no secret here at The Times that, you know, I love a, you know, very juicy, detailed investigative story more than any editor. My background is very much in investigative reporting, and The Times has not retreated from that form of journalism at all, where some of our competitors have cut down on it. And I, you know, love a story that takes readers by the hand and takes them behind the curtain and through, you know, detail and, you know, very deep reporting really gives them a sense not only of what happened, but how it happened, why it happened, and the characters driving the story forward. And that, you know, is, I'd love, you know, I expect to see more and more of those kinds of stories because our reporters love to go after them too. And then my other mark will be in further integrating our newsroom. We have one of the largest news gathering staffs in journalism, and I want to make sure that everybody follows the credo that we publish stories when they're ready without, you know, holding them back for the front page of the newspaper. If you have a big story leading our homepage or, you know, leading the top stories on our apps, you're reaching many millions of people, and the impact is huge.
It's definitely become a place to go
for
breaking news as well as other things, which is not how people used to think of the New York Times.
No. We used to, you know, definitely revolve around the deadlines of the print paper, and absolutely don't anymore, although we prize the print paper and devote a lot of thought about how to make that a distinct, mm-hmm. urgent, and fascinating read.
Jill Abramson, executive editor of The Times, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Her new book, which we'll get to, The Puppy Diaries, Raising a Dog Named Scout. You were the Washington bureau chief. You now have David Leonhardt as your Washington bureau chief.
That's right.
Who comes on the show a lot and who goes to that job from a non-traditional place. He was an economics columnist.
Mm-hmm.
So why David Leonhardt in this age of insane dysfunction in Washington? What's your approach?
Because David Leonhardt is the smartest journalist in Washington. He has a deep understanding of the most compelling story of our times, which is globally what is happening with the economy and the shifts in economics and the gap in income levels. And he is just a brilliant bundle of energy. And it was not a traditional appointment because David hasn't been an editor before, but I think his way of understanding and writing about how Washington works was so brilliant and insightful that I just know he'll be a great bureau chief. I know he'll seamlessly make the transition to being an editor, and I'm so excited that he was one of my first appointments.
Herb in Manhattan. You're on WNYC with Jill Abramson. Hello. Herb, are you there? Let's try Phil in Queens. Phil, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. Congratulations.
Thank you.
The Old Gray Lady is, a great newspaper, but in the last 3 years has sort of been a little lackadaisical on reporting numerous scandals in the Obama administration, and especially things like Fast and Furious. You've hardly touched on it. It's a very deep and disturbing problem. There are numerous other financial scandals and policy scandals and stories that, I hope guys will tell the truth.
Do you think it's political bias? Is that what you're saying?
I don't, Brian.
No, I'm asking Phil. Is that the charge?
You know, I think there's a conspiracy of consciousness. I think that there are a lot of well-intentioned, well-educated, liberal people. I used to be one of them until I started really, and I still listen to NPR and read the Times. You just don't cover stories that are out there.
Phil, thank you. And you did tell the public editor in your interview with Arthur Brisbane that, you remind the newsroom sometimes that, hey, you got to take other than a New York perspective, whether that's code for the same thing or not.
No, that's true. And I think that the outlook of of many of the reporters here is an urban one, and that can be very different. And just to keep that in mind as we craft our news report each day is important. But I absolutely disagree that, you know, the Times' news report has airbrushed difficult stories for the Obama administration. I know the White House hardly feels that we are picking up and amplifying the stories that they want focused on. We've been aggressively covering the story involving Solyndra, mm-hmm. even as our editorial page, which, you know, does have, a political point of view on some issues.
Right. They say Solyndra is no big deal.
It's not a story.
Right.
But, you know,
could you identify the biggest complaint, like the most passionate, most loud complaint that you've gotten from the White House press office about your coverage of Obama?
I shouldn't be talking about, you know, I've received many calls that take issue, especially calls after we have a story go up on the web that they don't like the analytical slant of, or they take issue with a headline. It's mm-hmm. a pretty frequent and lively
yes.
debate between the Times
That's
and
part
the
of their
White
job.
House.
Continue to bark
sure.
at the empire so they shape the coverage to the extent that they can. All right, your book, The Puppy Diaries, Raising a Dog Named Scout. The first thing I thought of is there a thing with animals and New York Times executive editors? The first time Howell Raines was on this program as executive editor was to talk about his fly fishing book.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're here with a book about puppies.
Right. I wrote the book, The Puppy Diaries, out of pure pleasure, and it grew out of an online column that I wrote on our website. I was anxious firsthand when I was managing editor to experience, you know, vigorous back and forth with readers, and there are few subjects that people are more passionate about than their pets, and so I wrote a sometimes humorous, but also, I hoped, helpful column about what raising a new, very rambunctious golden retriever puppy was like. And, you know, right away, readers, you know, were totally in touch with me to, like, exchange stories about their dogs. I invited readers to send in photos of their dogs, and so many participated that our website briefly crashed. But, you know, my idea after I spent a year chronicling Scout's first year was, you know, would be a challenge and very gratifying to go deeper on some of the subjects I wrote about and make one narrative where characters were developed more fully in it, including Scout herself.
There are a few eternal debates within the dog community, some of which you touch on. Crating is an eternal debate to crate or not to crate. Another is about the clicker, which you write about.
Right.
There's also a question about adopting from a shelter versus
mm-hmm.
getting a puppy from a breeder. You got a lot of letters about that when you wrote about
right.
the process in a column for the Home and Garden section of the Times. You want to talk about clicker?
Sure. Clickers are used by a lot of people, including my husband and I, used a clicker as part of what's called the positive training method for puppies, that you reward good behavior. And before you give a little treat when your puppy has done what you have asked, you click on a clicker, and that is thought to reinforce the positive reward system.
No biscuit. It, just a click?
No, you give them a little treat too,
oh,
but you
uh-huh.
click as you treat. It's like a two-step.
So people are what, offended by this kind of behaviorism?
Well, there are some people who believe that a better method of training is to be an assertive pack leader and to, you know, exert discipline. And we decided positive training, which focuses on your dog doing the things that you hope they will do and that you want them to do was the way to go with Scout.
And you and Scout met Cesar Millan, the dog whisperer.
We did.
And he said Scout was pulling at the leash because animals do not follow unstable pack leaders. And so you get into a thing about how you're too nice, or your husband says you're too nice.
Mm-hmm.
Does that carry over to the newsroom?
I wish I could say most people in the newsroom think I'm too nice. But no, I make the point that both as a parent, we have two children, and as an editor, you know, I can definitely be firm. But somehow with puppies, I melt into a bundle of indecision and unfirmness. And my husband actually informed me as we were going to meet Scout for the first time that I was being fired as our pack leader because I had spoiled our previous dog.
We all need a place to put that part of us, right?
Yes. I mean, all of us are multidimensional and have our various passions, and one that has brought me a lot of pleasure is taking care and loving this dog and all the dogs who have been in my life.
Jill Abramson is the brand new executive editor of the New York Times as of last month. She also has a brand new book called The Puppy Diaries, Raising a Dog Named Scout. So again, congratulations on the book. Congratulations on the job. I hope you'll come on a lot and talk the news and talk journalism with
us. Anytime, Brian. Thanks so much for having me.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.